Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. Today we're going to talk about a book that just recently came out. I haven't read it yet, but I read the review of it this morning and it looks fascinating because it addresses something tangentially that a lot of people mention to me in the comments to my videos. So a lot of people, whenever I mention laws and how many laws there are in America, I'll often get this comment that's always phrased like this. Steve, did you realize that you probably commit 37 federal offenses a day? Or Steve, did you know that the average American commits 19 federal offenses a day? And it's always a specific number. And they always claim, oh yeah, they've done studies and the average American commits 23 federal offenses a day. And whenever I ask and say, well, can you name one? Just name one that either I committed or you committed or one that you think your neighbor committed if you want to be anonymous about it. But tell me a law that you think that someone broke today and then we'll just add that to the list because there's 23 of them, right? And no one can ever come up with one of these laws. Well, here's the thing. A guy wrote a book, and the book is called How to Become a Federal Criminal, an Illustrated Handbook for the Aspiring Offender. Mike Chase, and he's an attorney. And this is interesting because what he's talking about are actual laws that are on the books, and he spends his spare time, apparently, rifling through the federal statutes and the CFRs and so on, looking for these laws. Now, these are real laws. And they might seem wacky at first glance, but number one, they're not laws that everyone breaks every single day. And so that's what reminded me of this, but it's fascinating. So the review of the book that I saw is called Pet Walruses, Hidden Bacon, and Other Violations of Actual U.S. Law. And this is a book review by Molly Young out of the New York Times. And like I said, I just ran across it and the headline caught my eye. I'm a lawyer. But also, it's funny because, you know, many people assume because there's lots of laws out there that, you know, we all must accidentally break them every single day. And that's not true. But I mean, people always joke about, you know, like, what about the label on a mattress? You know, do not remove this label, you know, federal penalties apply, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, that law might be silly. It might have a reason, but have you removed the label? I mean, you know, so don't call me a criminal and say I've broken 37 federal, you know, laws today unless you know which ones they are. But as Molly Young points out in Mike Chase's book, among the things that can get you in trouble with federal statutes is, for instance, maliciously smashing a mailbox. Now, that shouldn't be that big of a stretch for the average person to understand because, obviously, we all know that the U.S. Postal Service has got a lot of laws to protect the delivery of the mail. And so when the drunken teenage kids go by with an aluminum baseball bat, or a wooden one if they're old school, and they smash your mailbox, yeah, it makes sense that that'd be against the law. And you might go, but a federal offense? Well, it's a federal post office box. You know, it's a mailbox. It gets federal mail delivered to it. So why not? I like that law. But there are others. Apparently, firing a gun into a cave can be a federal offense, depending on where you do it. Selling bootleg dentures would be a federal offense. And again, it makes sense. This is copyright and trademark laws, right? And so, you know, it doesn't, you know, there's a specific one for dentures. Simply means it's probably a good denture lobby. But again, sending a scab through the mail. I assume they're not talking about a strike breaker. I assume they're talking about an actual piece of an old wound. Or, of course, tearing a dollar bill in half. Again, in theory, is a federal offense. So this is all, again, from Mike Chase's book, How to Become a Federal Criminal. And like I said, I haven't read the book yet, but I'm going to get it because to me it's fascinating. Chase is a white-collar criminal defense lawyer by day and a scholar of frivolous laws by night. And I'm curious to know if he calls them frivolous, because some of these laws, again, like I said, smash my mailbox, and I think you should be prosecuted, you know? So he practices in Connecticut, and he runs a Twitter account called Crime A Day, or at Crime A Day, where he posts snippets from his reading of the United States Code and the Code of Federal Regulations, or the CFR, which together list the guidelines that govern the lives of American citizens. And so what happened was his Twitter feed became so popular that he got a book deal out of it, which is cool. So among the things that you learn from his book and or his Twitter feed, you can't keep a walrus as a pet, but there's a lot of animals you can't keep as pets. You cannot wear a postal worker's uniform if you're not a postal worker, not even on Halloween. And again, that makes sense too, because you'd be posing as a federal employee and you go, but not even on Halloween? Since when is there a Halloween exception to breaking federal laws, you know? Can I dress up as a cop and run around with a gun? And oh, it's Halloween, you know. Oh, okay, you're good. You cannot use explosives to catch fish in a national park. I suspect, number one, my Simpsons fans in the audience will remember that that's one of the reasons that Ron Howard went to Springfield. It was one of the few places that would let him fish with dynamite. But number two, that's a cartoon. But number two, using explosives to catch a fish is probably illegal in many other places, not just in federal parks. So again, that's one that makes sense to me. But I guess in his book, he breaks them into categories. And this where, you know, this to me makes more sense. So he points out that there are some funny laws where you look at it and go, why would they have that law? So for instance, it is a federal offense to sell a 10-inch frozen cherry tart. Because if you were selling a 10-inch frozen cherry tart, it would technically be considered a frozen cherry pie. And apparently there's regulations issued by somebody, if I had to guess it's the FDA, but who knows, that actually breaks it out and says cherry pies must be sold this way, and cherry tarts, which are smaller pie-like but not totally pie-like devices, foodstuffs, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And so as a result of that, there's a law that distinguishes that. Now, does that law make sense? I don't think so. You probably don't think so. But people in the cherry pie business who sell their wares frozen probably thought there was a reason for that law, and they went to Washington, D.C. and paid off, lobbied some people to get that law written. So that's one. Some of them also are the kinds of things that you do look at and it makes you question your faith in humanity. But for instance, there is a federal statute that requires that if you have sprayable cheese in a can, aerosol cheese, which by the way, is a phrase that, does that really need to exist, aerosol cheese? But it does. So there is a federal law requiring a warning label, putting a label on that can of aerosol cheese, instructing you not to spray it in your eyes. Now, again, you say, Steve, is that necessary? Well, there are people out there who'd say, whether it was a law that said you had to do that or not, you'd probably be wise to put it on there, because you know what would happen is somebody would buy a can of spray cheese and somehow get it in their eyes. And then when somebody said, wait, how'd you spray that cheese in your eyes? You'd play stupid and go, oh, and then you'd want to sue the cheese company, the aerosol cheese company. And of course, luckily, big aerosol cheese has gone to Washington. No, I'm just kidding. I have a sneaky feeling this is probably from somebody else, like the Federal Trade Commission, who simply said anything that comes out of a can under aerosol pressure that can get in your eyes should probably have a warning about that. You know, point away from face before distributing cheese out of this can onto the cheese delivery food. Because as you know, you got to spray it on something before you eat it. Unless it's a warning. I don't know. Spray that straight in your mouth like whipped cream. So, and then of course, the third category of funniness is a question of scale, according to the woman who wrote the review of the book. And her name is Molly Young. And she says, for instance, have you ever wondered why all bacon packages feature at least a transparent window of the bacon within? In other words, you go to the store and you're buying bacon, and there's always at least a little window that lets you see the bacon. And I always assumed that was simply smart marketing. And as Mr. Chase points out in his book, that's actually the result also of a federal law. Because there's a federal law that requires consumers to be able to see at least 70% of a representative slice of the bacon if they're selling bacon. And again, he gives the sites and the statutes and citations and all that stuff. And so, you know, theoretically, if someone was selling bacon that you could not see a representative slice or 70% thereof, it would be in violation of federal law, okay? So now, I'll point out to you that the reviewer, Molly Young, wrote, I should offer a disclaimer. I normally approach Twitter-spawned book deals the way I approach novelizations of movies, which is to say, not at all, thanks. She says, it's not snobbishness, but most of them just simply turn out to be a bunch of tweets jammed together, and she goes, it's like serving 1,000 canapés and calling it a meal. The forms do not automatically or even usually translate, but when it comes to goofy legislation, the amplification beyond tweet length actually benefits the comedy because context and extrapolation are among the funniest parts. And so it sounds like she enjoyed the book. And, you know, like I said, it sounds good to me, too. And she's talking about there's also, I guess, a bigger issue here. And that is most of these laws will not get you arrested. Most of these laws are almost never enforced. And most of them simply appear to be on the books because at one time or another, somebody thought it was important to put this law on the books. Now, would the bacon manufacturers of America, who probably have a trade group called the BMA, would they, if that law were repealed on the visibility of pre-bought bacon, would they then tell their members, sure, go ahead and start selling your bacon blind, meaning that the buyers can't see what the bacon looks like? And I have a sneaky feeling people wouldn't be inclined to buy bacon that they could not see, because we all know there are grades of bacon. And if, you know, I know it when I see it, the good bacon and the bad bacon. And so, you know, if I was forced to go into the store and go, wait, which brand is the one I like because I can't see the bacon, it would change the market a little bit. But I suspect that now that they've got the infrastructure in place to provide us with pre-purchase inspectable bacon, I think that most companies would actually recognize that it is a good sales technique to let people see the bacon before they make their purchase. But you and I both know that if they allowed them to sell the bacon packaged in opaque packaging, that there would be some company out there that would sell extremely cheap, low-grade bacon in a package you couldn't see into. And while this package down here is $5, this package would be $3. And do you want to take the $2 gamble that this opaque, unseeable bacon is worth the purchase price? You never know. And the market will regulate some of these things. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that without any regulation at all, markets do not regulate themselves properly, at least not all markets. Because what often happens is one company will come along and start selling their El Cheapo bacon in the opaque packaging. And the other companies will go, well, who's going to buy that? Some people are going to buy it. Next thing you know, the guy who's got the bacon that's, you know, completely in a clear package is going to go, wait a second, how about if I cover the back and half the front and somehow make it so that the good stuff's showing? And they'll start investing more in bacon sorting technology. And then they will pass those savings along to themselves. But whether or not the bacon markets would evolve in such a way, I'm speculating here, but it's how I believe. But again, we're getting back to the book that, like I said, I haven't read it yet, but I will. How to Become a Federal Criminal, an Illustrated Handbook for the Aspiring Offender, written and illustrated by Mike Chase. And it sounds like a great discussion of a lot of statutes that actually are on the books. So again, you know, one of my pet peeves is people who say, hey, I heard there's a crazy law someplace. You can't show it to me. I hate to talk about it. But number two, people say, we're all breaking these laws every single day. Well, it's not what's going on in this book, but these laws are on the books. So sounds fascinating, interesting topic. Hope you enjoyed it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.